The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Well, we're back. A lot of conversation naturally about the selections made by the King of his offensive and defensive coordinator position. We'll talk about the Super Bowl later in the week. Your phone calls continue here at 855-242-7285. Andy Staples joining us shortly. A big story about Rashada and Madonna in Mississippi is up next.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great.
I just wanted to tell you, I think you're the one of the finest people I have ever met as far as just having a good heart.
Oh, thank you.
I'm 70 years old, so that means you're pretty much at the top of my list.
Well, that
I'm
means
a true
a lot.
Ole Miss fan. My first game was in 1959, and I watched in LSU. I watched Billy Cannon run that punt back, and I've been a fan ever since. But what I wanted to ask you is, because I haven't heard this talked about, so maybe I'm, you know, looking at it all wrong, but do you think that if they honestly picked the right Heisman this year? I believe.
Who did you think should win?
I think it should have went to the little Georgia quarterback.
Right. Well,
I think he no, just no, showed.
Let me say this. And I voted, so I don't want to come off disingenuous. I voted
that's
for him.
Okay. No, that's okay. You know, you've got a right to your opinion.
Well, but
I, would
but I
never.
Want to explain that when we made the decision, when the people, the day the people voted, I went for Caleb Williams,
sir,
because I thought he had performed the best. The one thing we had not seen, though, was Stetson Bennett in the two playoff games. Had I voted after the season, I would have voted for Stetson Bennett. So I clearly understand the sentiment toward him, but we were basing it on 12 or, in his case, 13 games. And he had played very well. He played good enough to get to the top three. It was a tough decision because you had to fight. I try to look at it objectively. I know a lot of people in this region always vote for SEC people. I don't do that.
My job is to vote for the best.
And I went for Duggan and Stetson. The hardest thing I had to do was leave out two people that I thought deserved mention, and that was obviously Hendon Hooker, who got hurt, and Bryce Young, who I think had Bryce Young played for Georgia, he would have won the Heisman.
I do too. That's what my point was going to be. All these Alabama people, they don't realize what Coach Saban, what he carries for them, whatever. But just like that's what I thought, that if Bryce Young would have been the quarterback of Georgia, he would have won. Because, you know, but don't get me wrong, I think the Georgia coach is going to come through. He's going to show them what he can do. But anyway, I just wanted to ask, because, you know, I watch it. Don't get me wrong, I like Georgia. I've hated Tennessee ever since before Steve Connor. And you know when that was.
I mean, do. You know. Yes, you better believe it.
So I'm just trying to tell you, I know a good bit, because I've gone to where you go to these clubs and stuff and you have trivia, and there was four guys and they needed one, you know, person. So they said, and the last question was, can you name a quarterback from the Dallas Cowboys back in the 1970s? And so, and then they picked me because I guess they thought, and I said, yeah, I said, we'll go with Don Meredith. How about that?
That's a great one.
or Bob Hayes, you know, I told
you. Oh,
yeah,
him, no, I grew
I
up,
love the Cowboys.
I grew up a Cowboys fan. I remember all those guys.
Yeah, I mean, but anyway, like I said, Paul, I just hadn't heard that talked about, and I listen every day, so I just said, well, I'm going to try to call and just to see.
Well, I'm
but
glad you did,
like
Madonna.
I said, don't get me wrong, you keep doing what you do.
Well, thank you for saying that. That means a lot.
Yeah, no, you have a great day.
Okay, Take care of yourself.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Lady Madonna, children at your feet. Irvin is up next. Hello, Irvin.
How you doing, Paul?
Irvin, we are doing great.
God bless you, Paul.
Thank you.
Listen, I am sick and tired of Alabama fans. When are they going to realize that Nick Saban, we all know that Nick Saban is going to be back. Hell, you got the top eight, you got the top eight five-star recruits in the country. What more do you want? It's not a foregone conclusion that Georgia is going to win another national championship, but Alabama fans cannot stand the fact that we are winning national championships now. It's sticking in their craw, and I can't stand this anymore.
Well, Irvin, I'm trying to counsel you as best I can, but Alabama fans are not going anywhere.
I know they're not.
Can you imagine what would happen, Irvin, if Georgia wins again next year?
Oh, yes, sir. And I do believe we're going to win next year. It's just the fact that these Alabama fans, they can't face the fact that it's time for a new face in football. Alabama has had their day with Nick Saban and Coach Bryant. I still think Coach Bryant is the greatest coach in Alabama history. I don't care who they have as coach right now. But I'm sick and tired of these Alabama fans, and they need to just let Georgia fans have their day and get on with it, because we all know that they're going to be right there again, but they're going to stub their toes. Whenever they stub their toe, Georgia's going to be right there waiting on them. Thank you, Paul.
Irvin, thank you. You agree? Are you sick Alabama fans, Randy?
No.
We are not sick Alabama fans here. We're sick of some of them. But not most of them. Boyd is in Arkansas. Hey, Boyd.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. I'm one of those first-time callers.
Thank you.
Your show.
Appreciate that.
I'm a Marine, retired Marine aviator living up in Northwest Arkansas, just outside of Fayetteville. And, of course, I'm an Arkansas fan. But I grew up in Southeast Arkansas, about 40 miles from Fordyce, where Bear grew up.
Sure.
We played them in football and everything. And I kind of followed the Bear Bryant story. But then I went in the Marines and kind of lost track of everything in Arkansas, Alabama. So I got to where after I retired, every chance I went to Pensacola, I'd go to the Naval Aviation Museum just to bring back some memories. And a number of years ago, I was there talking to an old Marine, or not Marine, but Navy aviator who had retired and was a guide there. And somehow the subject of football came up, and he told me a story that there was a time, I think it was 1942, when Bear was an assistant coach at the University of Georgia, mm-hmm. and a program that was basically set up where you had guys that were waiting to join the flight program in the Navy.
Right.
And I guess to keep them busy, they offered football for them to play. And there was a pretty good team, apparently, that he helped coach. And he was the assistant. And the interesting thing was that the head coach and, of course, Bear, they were both nicknamed Bear. And the head coach was named Bear Wolf.
You sure you're not telling me the story of Little Red Riding Hood here?
No.
Okay. That was a big bad wolf. I'm sorry. Okay.
I know.
My bad.
This guy told me that one day, Bear Wolf, the head coach, got wind that Bear Bryant was messing around with his wife.
No, not the Bear Bryant that I grew up loving.
Can you imagine that? Yeah.
I do not believe that. Do you believe that?
Well,
it's possible.
Okay.
Randy, I don't know whether to believe it or not, but it made a good story. But anyway,
this sounds like a book.
the story was that Bear Wolf came to Bear Bryant and said, hey, if you're not out of town by sunset, I'm going to murder you. And the story was that Bear Bryant did disappear. Have you ever heard that story?
I must tell you that until this moment, I had never heard that story, but I will also tell you how interested I am in finding out more about this story.
Yeah.
Wow.
So Bear Bryant
hightailed it out of town. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, it disappeared, left town, never came back. So I guess Bear Wolf made an impression on him.
Yeah. I imagine.
Yeah.
You have no earthly idea. Maybe you do. How many Bear Bryant stories I've heard in my life?
Oh, I imagine. Yeah, and not in
Brett. I've heard stories
I've never read any of them. I've never read any of them.
But never. I mean, I knew he was near Athens when he was serving in the Navy. I think he was serving in the Navy.
Yeah, he was actually in the Navy, but he was discharged from the Navy and immediately went to this coaching job.
Right.
He was off active duty at that time, but he had done a great job as an active duty officer, apparently, and kind of a hero in one of the accidents that his ship had. But the story was that he was discharged from active duty in the Navy, and then he came apparently pretty quickly to Georgia and took that coaching job.
And if I could ask you this question, not to dispute it happened, because I don't know whether it did or didn't, but where did you hear this again?
Yeah. I was at the Naval Aviation Museum in Pensacola.
Okay, right.
And I was talking to a
guy. So somebody there told you
at
the museum.
Yeah, he had either known, been very close to the situation when he was at the age where he would have been. So I didn't think much about it, Paul, to be honest. But when you had your program the other day about the anniversary, it brought back a lot of memories for me. And I just started doing a little research, and I came up on that ESPN show they did on him, program.
Right.
100 Year or something.
Yeah.
And that was a very level playing field that they gave on that show about covering the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
And it talked about, you know, he was quite a woman's man, apparently, and a hard drinker, and probably why he died at such a young age.
Wish you hadn't said that.
But when...
do you know that?
But when I heard that, I thought about that story that I was told years
ago.
Okay,
well, I will tell you, Boyd, first of all, I'm glad you didn't bring it up on the anniversary of his death. I thought that would have... it would have really ruined a good show.
I know, Paul. I thought about it that day, but I said, no, I would not dare call on the anniversary day and tell that story.
Because that would have somehow ruined the mood.
I know what you're talking about.
I'll tell you what, I know a few people I can check this story out with. And, Boyd, thank you for your service, number one. And thanks for the story about the big bad wolf. We will take a break. Back with more.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, we're back, and Charles is up next in Georgia. What do you say, Charles? How are you?
Oh, hey, that's Charles, Tennessee Moore. Yeah, I had a question or two. I would like to ask you. I'm glad to talk to you, though. I started calling a couple of weeks before football season started. I finally got through to you, so I guess I'm a loyal supporter of your program.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I had the wanted to ask you about your opinion about one or two things. What do you think about, say, young guys who were born with male DNA competing against young women with female DNA? What do you think about that? And has our great SEC have any of our great leaders made a stand? I guess you know what I feel about
Charles, let's start with your feelings, because I don't know. I know this has become an issue with the NCAA. I don't know whether it's ever trickled down, but give us your thoughts on it.
Well, I'll spare you the chicken word, but it for guys.
I don't think you did. Anyway, for the record, our friend here was eliminated because he said a word that we cannot accept here. I think he said, I'm not going to say this about that, how I feel. And he said the word, which we know how he felt, but he can't survive. Bama is up next. Hello, Bama. Or excuse me, Bubba. Bubba, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. I want to take issue with people calling in and lumping all the Bama fans into one category.
Yes.
There are quite a few Bama fans who still act like Bear Bryant taught us. You talk up a team, your opponent, you're nice to people, and you're not a wrestler yelling into the phone, making all kinds of bull about the opponent. I remember interviewing Coach Bryant in 1979 before the season. We had just won a national championship, and I asked the coach, what do you think Bama will be like this year, and who do you think will be the teams that are competing against them?
Right.
And Bear Bryant said, if you look at what we lost and what they've got coming back, you wouldn't even put us in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, he taught us a valuable lesson, and Bama fans, for the most part, follow him. But I don't like blowhards. And I don't like
people. No, you're right about Coach Bryant. That's how he always was. The first time I ever, Bubba, I think Alabama was playing Arkansas State. And I went to his press conference, and I said, well, Coach, what do you make out of, a good friend of his was coaching the other team. He said, I'll tell you one thing. He said, I am scared to death to play Arkansas State. And I said, you know what? I'm a reporter. So my first line, Coach Bryant said yesterday he was scared to death to play Arkansas State. And the headline, Bama, Bryant, scared to death. And I'll never forget, I walked in the next morning, and before I even put my coat down, I heard the editor scream for me to get in his office. He said, why in the blank did you write that? I said, well, that's what he said. He said, but you don't believe him. I said, listen, I'm not paid to believe or not to believe. I'm a reporter. And the guy almost like threw me out of his office. But I just thought, don't you take somebody at face value?
Sure.
If Bear Bryant said he was scared to death I have to believe he was scared to death. Now, we're not talking about the thing in Georgia. We're talking about but when he was at Alabama. Yeah. Vance is up next in Georgia.
Hey, Paul.
Yes. Good afternoon.
Glad you took my call, friend.
Thank you very much.
I'm curious. I got a couple of things to propose here. They don't really require an answer.
Okay, good.
Would the University of Texas not have an argument that had Colt McCoy not gotten hurt, that would have been a different game?
Well, they have been arguing that for 15 years.
Would they not have an argument had Quinn Ewers not got hurt? That would have been a different game.
Yes, absolutely. You could say both of those things would be theoretically true.
So the reason I bring that up is this utter explosion of people thinking something's wrong with Nick Saban and the University of Alabama. This will now be, what, his fifth time for replacing both head coordinators?
That is correct, Vance.
So would it not be fair to say that had Alabama had their full receiving core 2 years ago, in the national championship game, that might have been a different game?
Correct.
Then this year, they lose two games. Granted, everybody can say, well, they could have lost three others. Well, did not Georgia win a game by 1 point that you'll never find an Ohio State fan in the history of the rest of our lives to say that they should have won?
Yes, that's true.
Well, then, for God's sakes, to say that they had two bad seasons, I think is a little bit, don't you think that sounds a little odd?
Yeah, Vance, and I think if you heard the call, which I guess you did, I tried to point out that they finished second and fifth in the country during those terrible seasons, but they didn't have bad seasons. They had seasons, the 21 season, there were some close calls, and they lost a game to A&M, but it really didn't matter in the end. They still had a chance to win it all.
Well, let me ask you this, because people are talking about how Alabama had to change things and do this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
To me, it seems very obvious that Kirby Smart has kept a whole lot of the same old stuff he had at Alabama. And what I mean by that is, Will Anderson and Dallas Turner did not get a chance to do what they should have done because there was nobody in the middle of the line. When you look at Georgia's line, they're a bunch of meat eaters and monsters.
Right.
I think that I'm going to give faith in this young man from Notre Dame because, number one, I wanted a young guy, so maybe he won't be gone in a year. Kevin Steele, okay. Is he not a proven guy? Let's see what they can work with.
Well, yeah, I mean, Kevin Steele is quintessential comfort food. He's somebody that Alabama is comfortable with. Saban feels good about. And the thing thing about Kevin Steele, there's no learning curve with Tommy Rees. Saban will have to sit down with other people and talk philosophy. Kevin Steele could coach a game tonight. He knows that system as well as Nick Saban. And people will say this privately, but I'm telling you, Kevin Steele is not really going to be the defensive coordinator at Alabama in anything but name alone. The same person will be running the Alabama defense that has been running the Alabama defense since 2007. That's Nick Saban. We'll take a short break. Coming right back.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And by now, you've heard everything you want to hear about Jaden Rashada, but how about learning something new? And that's exactly what readers of The Athletic and Andy Staples had to say. Headline, Jaden Rashada's unprecedented recruitment. How a four-star QB went from a $13.85 million deal to no NI deal. Andy joining us, he and one of his colleagues doing a lot of reporting on this. Andy, thank you, and take it from the top. How did we get here?
Strange story, Paul. You had a quarterback who was a fairly high-level recruit, but not top of the top. We're not talking about like Arch Manning here, but a four-star type recruit that quite a few schools were interested in, and basically had some people around him who were shopping him for the biggest bag they could get. And, you know, it started back in the summer. He looked at some various schools. There were schools that told them, no, please pound sand because we're not dealing with this. But then Miami and Florida got into kind of a recruiting match over them. And Miami ends up getting his commitment initially. And then, you know, there was a report at the time that Miami had, or the collective attached to Miami, had done a $9.5 million deal with him. We never found any evidence that that existed. At the same time, his agent said that he turned down more from Florida to take that deal. Now, we talked to John Ruiz, who runs that collective at Miami, and he said he couldn't tell us the exact amount of the deal, but he said it wasn't anywhere near $9.5 million. But somebody believed that. I don't know exactly who, but somebody believed that. And so you go to the week of the Florida State-Miami game. Jaden Rashada is supposed to come and film a commercial for Life Wallet, which is the company attached to this collective, and doesn't go. He had received about $125,000 based on what we were told. And it was pretty clear at that point to these people and to Miami's coaches that he was looking elsewhere. And so the next week, he flips to Florida. And they ask for that money back. They get paid back. Well, fast forward to January 10th. That's the day that Florida's early enrollees are supposed to report to campus. He's not there. So we start calling around asking questions. And we start finding out, okay, these numbers are ridiculous. They're huge. So it's like $13 million. And at first, it's like, no. It's like your guest that you were playing earlier was saying, if you hear a number, cut it in half and maybe cut it in half again. Because you don't believe most of that, because when you kind of boil it down and talk to a bunch of people, you find out, oh, that's not true. In this case, I was finding out it was true. And I was like, how in the world did this happen? So we kept digging and digging and digging. I eventually got a hold of the contract, and it's wild. It's a four-year, $13.85 million contract. And Paul, the only first-round quarterback in the draft last year was Kenny Pickett, got picked by the Steelers. His four-year deal, his rookie deal in the NFL, is worth $14.1 million, so $250,000 more than this deal, basically. It made no sense on any planet. There's no college football player in the world getting anything like this. Not the best ones who've already proven themselves. Caleb Williams won the Heisman last year. He's not touching these numbers. So what the heck happened? And so we looked into it, and basically found out that the deal was written through a collective called the Gator Collective. Jaden has representatives. I mentioned there was an agent when he was getting recruited by Miami. He changed agents. He then switched to an agency out of Texas called JTM Sports that is run by an SMU sophomore and a commercial real estate broker who's also in his 20s. These guys were former IMG Academy football teammates. And so you got that. There's an attorney named Darren Heitner, who's based in South Florida, who had done work for the Gator Collective before and is advertised on the JTM Sports website as being their affiliate legal counsel. Now, Darren told us for this story that he didn't do any work for this particular transaction. But he also said he did pass along via text message these numbers that wound up in the contract, because the idea was that somebody was guaranteeing money for this contract, and we don't really know who yet. And the Gator Collective, which is a collective that's been running since 2021, that typically does much, much smaller deals than this, they were going to write the contract. It was going to be financially backed elsewhere. And so the contract is written. Darren sends the numbers via text. He said they came from a third party. I asked who was the third party. Darren said, I can't say. And basically, these numbers get in the contract. They're sent to Jaden Rashada. By the way, this is the night he flips. This is November 10th. So this contract gets signed at 12:07 a.m. Eastern time. Jaden Rashada tweets that he's flipped, but he lives in California. So when he signed that contract, it was the same day that he announced his flip. And it's just wild that these numbers got out there. And then you get to December 7th. Now, December 5th, there was supposed to be a payment of $500,000. On December 7th, it had become clear to the people at the Gator Collective that the money backing this deal was non-existent. It was supposed to be there. It wasn't. And so they terminated. They had a termination clause, and they had various reasons they were allowed to terminate. So they sent a termination letter to the Rashadas. Now, Jaden still signed a letter of intent 2 weeks later anyway, which is yet another mystery that we haven't gotten to the bottom to. But then there was more negotiation with a collective attached to Florida, a different one, about potentially salvaging a much, much smaller deal. But at that point, I think both parties, you know, basically bridges had been burned, and he decided to get a release.
Andy, a lot to figure out.
Yeah, sorry, that was a long explanation.
No, but what's the best guess on why he signed with Florida?
I don't know. I that's the part. Maybe he really, really wanted to play at Florida and thought that things could be worked out. And again, I think there were attempts made on both sides to work it out, and then they ultimately decided not to do it. And I understand where they're coming from on that side, because you've signed this deal, you're expecting this much, even though it's crazy amount with respect to market value, but somebody offered you that deal and you signed it. So I get where they're coming from, but you know, it is strange to me that 2 weeks after the thing was terminated, he ends up signing anyway. But that's another thing. I'd love to hear this from Jaden. We tried a bunch of times to talk to Jaden, and we talked to a lot of people around him, and really wanted to get his voice in the story, because everything we heard from people who've dealt with him over the years is he's a nice kid, and he wasn't really driving most of this. And I think ultimately the people who were advising him and had him do all this stuff did him a disservice.
Finally, in relation to Billy Napier in Florida, where does it put them, especially moving forward? Because they took a lot of heat, whether they deserved it or not, for the way this thing went down.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I don't think there's a coach in America, if they'd heard those numbers before that deal got signed, that would have been cool with that. They would have said, hell no, do not do this. Please don't do this. You're going to destroy my locker room. This is a bad idea. Don't do it. But this is the way this works, because it's set up so that the schools and the athletic departments are separate from the collectives. And I don't think that's a very efficient way of doing this, but that's the way it is right now. And so what they're going to have to do going forward in terms of recruiting these guys, and look, everybody's making NIL deals, and you're making NIL deals with your current players. They've got to show that the collectives that are attached to Florida are reliable, that they will pay what they say they're going to pay, and they're not going to back out of deals at the last minute. So that's the next step, or that there's actual money behind the deals that get signed. They've got to do that. And unfortunately, that's not something that can be done overnight. That takes time to prove. And you've seen, like, Anthony Richardson, Florida's former quarterback, tweeting out, hey, I've done a bunch of deals with the Gator Collective. They've always paid. Everything's always been on time. Like, they're trying to salvage that relationship, but it is going to be tougher going forward, because this was so public and so embarrassing.
We'll leave it there. We could talk all night. Andy, many thanks. Great reporting, you and Stuart in The Athletic on the Rashada situation. We head to the break. We'll get your reaction to all of that and more guests as we continue here on a Monday afternoon.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back on a Monday, and Reverend Phil is up next.
Hey, Paul.
Reverend.
Hope you had a good weekend. Got
we
some
did.
R&R.
Thank you.
So now that we can rest easy and sleep at night knowing who the Alabama coordinators are.
Oh, yeah.
I was reading an article where you suggested that you felt like Kirby was content to let Munkin go to the NFL. Is that sort of flesh that out with you a little bit?
It came up during a call about 2 hours ago, and somebody just asked me what it was all about, and I just gave a rather flippant answer, but I said if Todd Munkin wants to go to Tampa Bay, let him go. I don't think Kirby Smart can really. I mean, he gave him a 60% raise last year. And, you know, what do you keep? I mean, is that not enough? At some point, if you have to go back to the well every year, then, I haven't asked Kirby Smart, but I would say Kirby Smart would be content to say, Todd, go ahead.
Yeah. Have you heard anything?
No.
Are you, are we just assuming that Bobo will be the choice?
That is my best guess, considering his credentials and the fact that he's already there. I don't know that for a fact, but I'm not coming down on Todd Munkin, but to me, and by the way, he may end up staying. And I've heard from some that Kirby's appeal to Shulman and Munkin is, hey, listen, guys, if we win three in a row, you can write your own ticket anywhere you want. So do whatever you want, but that's my philosophy on it. Now, if Kirby, but at some point, if you're employing someone who every year keeps interviewing, you do have to just say, if you want to go.
Yeah. It might have just been an unreliable Twitter feed in which I heard this, but I at least heard the names of Joe Brady and I heard Kingsbury.
No.
Kingsbury's
out of the country right now, I believe. And I have never – I mean, I know what Joe Brady did with Joe Burrow, but you know what? I could have done that with Joe Burrow. I mean, we now know that it wasn't Joe Brady who made that offense sing. It was, to Ed Ogeron's credit – he and Steve Ensminger, they made a change. They brought Brady in who changed the philosophy, and then it took off because you had a once-in-a-generation quarterback. But what has Joe Brady done since then is my question.
Yeah. I'm not trying
more of
for
an
Joe
answer.
Brady or for Kingsbury. I just wonder if there's any real
there were some Alabama fans who were pining for Kingsbury. But I cannot imagine Kingsbury and Nick Saban on the same staff.
Okay.
That obviously didn't happen.
All
but
right,
as
Paul,
far as Munkin, listen, I think he's a really good coordinator, but the Georgia program will live without Todd Munkin. That's my I know I'm going to come out like a hater on that, but that's just the way it is. Hater, you agree?
Yep.
Anthony on Long Island.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Hello.
Yes. Paul, I'm a big Notre Dame fan. I've spoken to you a couple of times before, and I just wanted to ask you three quick questions, if I could.
Shoot.
Thank you. The first question is, I think the Notre Dame football program is at a crossroads right now, and it has to do with the academic standards. And the first question I wanted to ask you is, if Notre Dame were able to lower the academic standards a little bit, do you think they'd be more likely to compete with Alabama and Georgia?
It would help, but don't forget, athletes find their way into Notre Dame, whether they should be or not. That's an age-old debate, and you know that.
Right, right. But it just seems like there's a difference in the five-star talent Georgia.
I think Notre Dame is also dealing with the NIL world, where as great as Notre Dame is, and I would be proud to have a Notre Dame education, they're not competitive, I don't think. And they have one of the best recruiters in the country, but I don't think in the end Marcus Freeman can consistently beat Nick Saban or Kirby Smart or Jimbo Fisher for the best players. We'll take a short break, an hour to go.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.